Turn with me this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the Word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, Heavenly Father, I again ask your blessing as we open the word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the Scripture to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive it, and I thank you for it. Amen. At the time of this occurrence here, Jesus and the disciples are sitting around a table, and they're sharing a Passover meal. The table sits before them, and laying on that table, no doubt, are what's left over of a roasted lamb, of some herbs, some unleavened bread, and some wine. Judas Iscariot has left the gathering, and the time of the Lord's suffering is very fast approaching. This gathering of disciples, this is a very intimate and a very solemn occasion. And Jesus, one thing when we look at the life of Christ as he ministered on the earth, never wasted a minute. He never wasted a word. That's hard to get my head around sometimes. Because how many minutes and how many words do we waste? But Christ didn't do that. He never wasted anything. He makes the most of the time. And we can allow ourselves a little bit of luxury, if you would, and sit back and imagine this scene. Imagine the time. Imagine the room. And we might be able to see that our Lord takes a cup of wine, and he lifts it and displays it in front of the disciples, and he says to them, I am the vine. They're looking at the fruit of a grape, and Jesus is saying, I am the vine. Now, the disciples would not be unfamiliar with the metaphor, because Israel is referred to over and over again in the Old Testament as a vine. Some modern dispensationalists like to use an olive tree, or a fig tree, but that was not what was used in the Old Testament. Israel was always referred to as a vine. And Jesus is saying at this particular occasion that it's not the vine from which the wine came from. And I'm not speaking to you now of the nation of Israel. But I'm talking to you about me, that I am the real vine. I am the true vine. The vine is the main stalk of the plant. And it's out of the vine on the bottom part where the root descends. And the root is the most vital part of the whole thing. The root grows down deep, and it gives stability to the plant. The deeper the root, the stronger the plant. Obviously, if Christ is the vine, that root goes very deep. He can't be budged. He's very solid and strong. It's also through that root that the nutrients are absorbed. The things that make for a healthy plant. When that's done, when the plant is working like it ought, it produces sap. And the sap is the lifeblood of the plant. And the sap shoots up through the vine into the branches. It's the sap that gives the branches the power to produce fruit. Branches hanging on there with no lifeblood in it are pretty much just for show. There is no good that can be of them. And Jesus is telling us that we have work to do. There are things that we have to do, but we don't do them on our own. He is the power source. He is the stabilizer. Part of the problem with the modern church, some of the things that they've gotten into, is that they've begun to think that they are their own stabilizer, that they are their own power source. And so we concoct all kinds of things. How come we don't have a massive church with thousands and thousands of people in it? And I'm telling you, I never want that. Ever do I want that. I like small. Small is better. But how is it these people are manufacturing these things? Well, we think like the world thinks. We think like marketers, you know, merchants. What we look to see what the felt needs of the people are, and then we go out of our way to just meet those felt needs rather than supplying them with life. Christ is the true vine. It's in Him that the root is, that we are stabilized, that we are strengthened, and that we are provided with the sap, if you would, to strengthen us to do the work that we've set about to do. He said His Father is the vine dresser. His Father is the husbandman, King James says. The Father is the one who tills the ground, the one who tends to the branches. I never professed to be a farmer. I don't know all the stuff that you're supposed to do. I know some of the stuff that you're supposed to do. But guys who that get into that, people that get into that thing, they know all kinds of stuff. You know, they know how to fertilize and what to fertilize with and what fertilizes better than something else. They know when it comes to cultivation, how close can you actually get to the plant without damaging the plant, you know, and still do some good. They know all about those things. The Father certainly knows how to take care of His crop. He's the one who tends to the branches. Branches tend to need a lot of care. They grow wild. They go all over. You ever seen a grape vine? Yeah, you probably have. My grandfather had one. He used to have it. It was out behind his house. And we'd go out there and hang in it, and he'd beat us for it. You don't hang in a grapevine. But the branches of the grapevine just twist and turn every which way. You know, it's kind of a thing. And my grandfather paid attention to stuff, and you know, not just his grapevines, but his trees. And he would go out, and he would give the Ted Church trim job treatment to it. And I swear to you that I don't know how anything ever lived, because he would trim those things to where they were like just a stick in the ground. But they always came back and flourished the year after. I'm going off crazy stuff, but... And this is really almost meaningless to you. But they had a hedge out by the road in front of that. And he would go out and chop that hedge down till it was literally no more than 3 inches or 4 inches off the ground. And don't you know that thing would just grow right back up, and it would have to get it again. I wish he was around, because I wish he'd come do mine. Branches tend to need a lot of care. And so the father is a busy vine dresser. And says in verse 2 that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Now this can be a troubling verse. What is meant by the words in me? Jesus is saying, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. How can a branch in me be taken away? Calvin asked, can anyone who is engrafted in Christ be without fruit? We have to think deeper than just the surface of what the word says here. We have to think beyond, just skimming the surface. If we are indeed engrafted into Christ, can it possibly be that we would be fruitless? Many, many Christians have tortured their own minds with the notion that they are barren branches. They'll look at their lives and they say, I don't see the fruit. I don't see what I'm doing. Is it possible that I'm not even in Christ? If we ask this question of ourselves, this is not a question that should be taken lightly. It's a very serious question. And we should think about it. We should pray about this. But doesn't the question assume that we are the producers? When we say, I don't see the fruit, it naturally assumes that we think we are the producers. We are not doing enough. I mentioned a week or two ago, whenever it was, that the Arminian will try to lay the guilt trip on you and say, so-and-so, if you don't give them the word of God and they go to hell, it's on you. It is not on you. We do not have the ability to convert a soul. We do not have the ability to give a dead man life. Only God can do that. We as Christians have an obligation to share the good news. We have an obligation to give the gospel. We cannot make a change in the mind. We cannot make a change in the heart. That's God's work. So when we say, we look at ourselves and we say, I don't see any fruit, we assume that we are able to produce the fruit. Now, too often, that translates into, we're not winning any souls. I would have to ask you, if that's your condition, how do you know? Just because you're not personally sitting down with someone and praying with them does not mean that God is not working through you to see souls brought to Him. We don't keep a file cabinet of names. We don't do that. How foolish is that? It's the work of God. But we can't just limit the idea of bearing fruit to the notion of winning souls. If we are indeed engrafted in Christ, isn't the fruit that we should be bearing given to us in Ephesians? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And offshoots of love are joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and goodness and meekness. I can't remember them all. This also is the bearing of fruit. And we see in our own lives as we go through the sanctification process, as God Himself prunes us and we grow. It's not necessarily just the winning of souls, but it's the bearing of fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. That our old man continues to be put further and further and further to death, and our new man takes over more and more. And so that when we look at one another, we see God in us. We see the love of Christ in us, and less of the love of ourselves. Indeed, if you are engrafted in Christ, if the Holy Spirit is the one empowering your life, and no fruit is being produced, then God is a poor farmer. We should naturally be bearing fruit. Now, not everyone who claims the title Christian is. Paul, in Romans 9, he said that, you know, not all Israel are of Israel. Everybody who went through the initiation, who had the mark of membership, not everyone who observed the feasts and knew the law and strove to obey the law was Israel. They had all those things, but they had no faith. Again, Calvin commented that many are supposed to be in the vine according to the opinion of men who actually have no root in the vine. They have a mask that they wear, a profession that they throw out. But there's no reality to it. A branch may appear to be in the vine according to men. You may have been baptized. You may give offerings. You may do good works. But there is no life there because you don't believe in Christ. It's these that the Father takes away. Judas Iscariot had all the appearance of being one of the guys. He was a disciple, chosen by the Lord for a purpose. But people didn't know that. The other disciples didn't know that. So Judas came in and was taught the same as Peter and James and John, and so on. Judas went out and ministered to people. Judas attended the prayer meetings. But Judas was not a living branch. He was taken away. He served his purpose. But those that bear fruit, what does the vine dresser do? He prunes them. He cuts them back. He allows them to produce more fruit. King James says that he purges it or cleanses it. And this again refers to sanctification. It refers to our growing daily more and more in Christ. This is an ongoing thing. It's lifelong. It's lifelong. Understand, we will never attain perfection in this life. It's never going to happen. But we got to get better. We should be getting better. We should be growing. We should be improving. And we should be bearing more fruit. Sometimes pruning hurts. I don't know about you, but I don't think I like somebody walking around with a pair of pruning clippers and cutting things off of me. It would hurt. See the Wizard of Oz? Yeah. Dorothy goes and pulls an apple off a tree and the tree goes bananas. He got hurt, man. What do you think you're doing? But God doesn't prune us. God doesn't hurt us because he gets some kind of jolly out of it. He does that to make us better. To make us grow stronger. To make us produce more. And he always does it for his glory. If indeed we are in Christ, we should have in this new nature a natural desire to please him. We should have the natural desire to bear much fruit. This nature should bolster our desire for that. But like a zombie, the old one lingers. Still fighting, we clash every day. But if we are in Christ, if we are rooted in Christ, it is his strength and his power, and it's through his word that enables us to overcome the things that we face. Jesus says to the disciples, you're clean because of the word. He's saying to them, you are already justified. We talked about that again a week or so ago. You are already justified. This other part is an ongoing thing. You're justified because you have faith in my word. And he says this to the disciples, and we kind of, sometimes in a moment of weakness, we kind of idolize the disciples and think that they were really super spiritual guys. But they were guys who just had the blessing of being chosen by the Lord to walk with him for 3.5 years, and then to carry on the foundational process of establishing the church. They were guys. They were flesh and blood people. And so they got to enjoy the ongoing process of sanctification just like you and me. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. To abide is to dwell. It's to rest. It's to remain unmovable. Branches don't go off on their own and survive. There are no Lone Ranger branches. They all are true branches, have to be engrafted. They have to abide in the vine, or they'll have no life. I wonder, is there any better place to abide? Is there any better place to live than securely in Christ? Abide in me, Jesus says. And then he gives a little additional encouragement because he says, and I in you. He has greater power than we do. He enables us to abide in him. But we have no say as regenerate people by him living in us. He's there. He doesn't stand at the door and knock and say, please let me in. He says, here I am. This whole fruit-bearing thing, it's not all on your shoulders. And it can't be all on your shoulders. You can't bear fruit by yourself. And yet you are called to bear fruit. Where does that place our focus? Where do we have to return? Every single time, we have to go back to Christ. If we start to have a good day, if our life seems like it's, hey, right now it's kind of like daisies and marshmallows. Everything's good. We still have to go back to Christ. If Hillary Clinton had been elected president, we would still have to go back to Christ. Since she wasn't elected and we got another guy, we still have to go back to Christ. If we are going to live successfully in this life, if we are going to flourish in our ability to bear fruit, we have to go back to Christ. It's not about us at all. It's about him. The good news is, since he's asked that of us, if he's told us to bear fruit, and he is the enabler, he is the power, he is the one who does the work, we will bear fruit. He's the vine, we're the branches. And he, through you, will bear much fruit for his glory, for your good. Let's pray.